human element. Like, I think you have to have those characters, no?
No, you do. And they're very surface level. Like, none of them really went deep. The motivations were about as deep as, you know, a quarter inch puddle.
Sure.
The plot was not complex. It was very mustache twirly, straightforward. Like, you really have to commit to, like, wanting to watch this movie, because those aspects of the way that the actual plot progresses through the dialogue and the actions of these characters,
mm-hmm.
it is not advanced cinema stuff. We're not dealing
It's not hard to track, yeah.
It's not hard to track, okay? It's there to fill in the space between the monsters beating the snot out of each other.
Mm-hmm.
And also, they want you to care about this guy's podcast. Millie Bobby Brown is everywhere. She's in multiple countries. We'll get to that. That was
sure.
wild. But yeah, I mean, it has to be there. And I think she's not in the cast credits on my notes, but the young orphan girl who is also deaf that can communicate with Kong, I think she was probably had the most emotional depth, and she didn't say a word. So I think that's not only a testament to that young girl's acting, also to the level of writing and acting of all the other characters. I liked Alexander Skarsgård's character, but he was a caricature of a doctor. I mean, like I said, there's not a lot of depth to these characters, but they serve their role and they propel the plot of monster high stakes violence in a way that I found sufficient enough to get me from A to B.
Yeah.
So overall, I love this movie. It was a breath of fresh air. It was a brain turn off. It was like just watching race cars or something fun and silly,
mm-hmm.
and shiny and happy. And I loved it. What'd you think?
So just to give credit where it is due, the girl you're describing is who plays Gia in this movie is named Kaylee Hoddle. So shout out to her. Yeah, I think she was good. There's also some other people. Like, there's a lot. This is where I'm going to agree with you when it comes to, because I think backstory is good. Like, for me, I need to care about it a little bit. And as much fun as it is to watch these two beat each other, I don't necessarily care on any real personal level. So to have characters like the Millie Bobby Brown character trying to do her best to kind of save the world with help of her sidekick and Brian Tyree Henry, the podcaster Bernie Hayes, that used to work at the company Apex, I think that's all unnecessary, maybe not evil, but, you know, distraction maybe or fluff that needs to be in there to make most people care about what's happening. My thing is there's a ton of technical jargon and backstory that I definitely don't care about. Stuff like, it's called like Apex Cybernetics. That's this very mysterious company that's working and trying to get stuff done, and you can tell they're evil. And there's also this theory about the Hollow Earth where Kong came from. There's so much exposition. I'm just trying to keep up. I started watching this movie on an evening after a couple of drinks thinking, sure, I can keep up with this. And there was so much technical stuff that I was like, I think I have to finish this in a different mindset at the very least. So I did. And to some extent, I just wanted to sit back and watch what you're describing, which you do get in this movie, which is them just fighting on a grand scale and destroying cities and doing cool, you know, lava laser breath. That's awesome. But it did take a lot to get to that point.
It did. And it felt close to too much. Like, if there would have been much more of the dialogue and the plot and the forced, like, exposition, mm-hmm. it would have felt oversaturated. But I feel like they did just enough to get me there.
All right, fair enough. Johnny, we will talk about this a little bit more later, obviously, and maybe get into some spoilers. But before that, do you want to give me a rating for Godzilla vs. Kong out of 10?
I do.
Okay, what you got?
This movie's an 8.7.
It's an 8.7?
Yeah,
my guy, man. That's so high. Are you sure that's what you want to go with?
I told you I loved it.
Oh, my Lord.
You know, I judge, like, the thing is, we judge movies differently.
I know. You go,
like, against every movie ever, and I go against other action movies that are just made to eat popcorn.
Yeah.
So, like, this is top tier stuff, man. This is top shelf
All right.
Action liquor.
All right. Well, I feel kind of bad. I was going to give it a 5, but then your enthusiasm, I want to give it a 6 at the very least. I can give it a 6 out of 10 in pretty good faith because it is doing a good job of what it's trying to do. Unlike that, you remember that movie Geostorm with Gerard Butler by chance?
Yeah.
Man, I turned that movie on stream one time and I swear to you, it was like an hour in and I hadn't seen a single raindrop and I turned that movie off because at least I got what I was kind of hoping to get in this movie.
Yeah, it knows what it is, man. It knows what it's here for. And, you know, I rate movies really high that make me just pure joy, mm-hmm. just happy. Like I said, it washed over me like a wave of Kool-Aid.
All right. Well, once again, we've been talking about Godzilla vs. Kong. It is available to stream on HBO Max, or if you have a theater open near you, you can probably see it at that theater. Once again, you've been listening to Fresh Hop Cinema. If you've seen this movie, we want to know what you think. So get in touch. Find us on social media at Fresh Hop Cinema. Send an email to fhccast@gmail.com or head over to our website, freshhopcinema.com, for film reviews, beer reviews, beer madness, and podcast episodes dating all the way back to 2016. To our KZFR listeners, the full-length version of today's conversation will be available tomorrow morning at 7 a.m., wherever quality podcasts are found. And to all of our podcast listeners, we'll be right back after this. Fresh Hop Cinema is made possible by the generous contributions of KZFR supporters and by Tires Plus Complete Auto Repair on the corner of 6th and Broadway. The technicians at Tires Plus provide complete auto services including repairs, maintenance, check engine light, brakes, and tires to keep you safe. Located at 624 Broadway Street, Tires Plus Complete Auto Repair can be reached at 342-8338 and on Facebook. And by Grubbs CSA Farm, offering sustainably grown local produce from their farm in Chico. Grubb's weekly CSA vegetable box season has begun. To sign up for your weekly box of produce, visit grubcsafarm.com or at 680-4543 and on Facebook. Grubb produce is also available at all Chico farmers markets. If you enjoy this program, you can now go to kzfr.org and tip this show.
Why don't we begin?
Report to staff. Here, we hope you enjoy.
Hello. This is Ken Logan, and you are listening to FM 90.1. KZFR Chico, listener-supported community radio for the Sacramento Valley, the foothills, and beyond. Stay tuned for the Doctor's Inn. Let me see if I can get you a little bit of intro music here first. Let's see if that works.
I went to the doctor, and the doctor said, son, you look older than me, and I'm 71. You're falling apart, you're not living right. I went to the doctor and the doctor said loud, you got to stop hanging out with that old in crowd.
Well, there, I guess I cut that off kind of quick. Sorry, a little bit of music only. So, this is Dr. Ken Logan. I'm a family practice doctor here in Chico, and you're listening to The Doctor's Inn for the next, 45, 50 minutes. Today's show, well, first of all, I want to tell you this. So I'm a family practice doctor. I thought it would be good for me to, there's a disclaimer I'm supposed to say about my about the opinions voiced on this program, this Doctor's Inn program, which I'll do in a minute. But I wanted you to know where my opinions come from. I'm a family practice doctor who started in the medical health world in the 1970s. For a handful of years, I was a hospital corpsman in the Navy. Then for 1 or 2 years, I worked as a LVN, a licensed vocational nurse here in Chico. And then in 1978, I started medical school at KZFR, yeah, at USC, not KZFR, and then graduated in 1982. So I've been a physician for 39 years, and I have acquired some opinions over those 39 years. And the opinions voiced on this program do not necessarily represent the views or opinions of KZFR, its staff, board of directors, underwriters, or volunteers. And the Doctor's Inn is made possible by the generous contributions of KZFR supporters, thank you, and by Friends of the Arts, your state and state local partner to the California Arts Council since 2001. Friends of the Arts creates economic opportunity by producing and supporting events and by publishing a bi-monthly arts and culture newsletter. To stay in the know or have your event listed, visit friendsoftheart.net. And by Dahlmeier Insurance Agency, an independent agent and retail broker since 1948. Dahlmeier Insurance provides a range of coverage options, from home and auto insurance to farm and ranch coverage. You can reach Dahlmeier Insurance in Chico at 342-6421 and in Orville at 533-3424 or online at chicoinsurance.com. So today's show, what I'm going to do, this is the Doctor's Inn, and what I'm going to do is start out with some COVID updates and facts and opinions, and that'll include vaccine information, and included in that will be this Johnson & Johnson vaccine issue, and then I'm going to morph into a related kind of issue related to the COVID, I'm sorry, to the Johnson & Johnson issue of venous thrombosis. And I'm going to talk about venous thrombosis, which is much more common in the general population than this rarity that is present in the Johnson & Johnson vaccine issue. Okay, and then if I have any time, I'll go to discuss healthcare in Cuba, but you know what? I'm not going to have time for that today. I might do that next month. Cuba has a very interesting healthcare system, which you will be amazed at. So the COVID issues that I want to cover, first I'm going to talk about the Butte County update and then some general reminders again, and then the COVID vaccination update and issues. First of all, COVID virus. How many Americans have died from that? Well, it's up to 562,000. So, of course, that's over 500,000 dead. And how many new cases per day? Well, we're still at around 62,000 new cases per day. I just read a thing online today, Dr. Fauci talking about in Congress hearing, talking about the goal relative to opening things up being about 10,000 new cases per day as soon as possible. Well, we're at 62, and we had a 70,000 new cases per day as well recently. So we got work to do, and I'm going to talk about what we need to do. Please listen. So first, some numbers. In Butte County, as of yesterday, there were two patients in Inlo Hospital in Chico with COVID. Now, neither of those were severe cases, neither on ventilators. Now, that two patients is a number that is markedly down from over the last 1 to 2 months. And that puts us in Butte County in Tier 3, currently, which is an improvement. And we're at 5 cases in Butte County, 5 cases per 100,000 people. However, a warning on that. And that's an improvement, by the way, 5 cases per 100,000. But a warning on that. It seems that that is, again, beginning to rise. So, therefore, the reminders I'm going to enumerate in a minute remain very important. But first, let me just say, Glynn County is at 7 cases per 100,000. Tehama County is at 11 cases per 100,000. So what are the important reminders relative to COVID virus in our lives? Well, it's the reminders revolve around prevention. Prevention. Prevention is the continues to be the key factor for us in this country and around the world, and as our community as well. The two important facets of prevention are preventing the contact from person to person of the virus. And the second one is vaccinations. So on the first one, preventing contact remains very important, of course. Specifically, this means, as you know, wearing masks. When out in public, when you're around other people, masks are remaining very important. The second thing is avoid other people. Don't enter into crowds. And the third thing, of course, is if you are around other people, such as at a store, then social distancing remains important. And that means 6 feet or more, right? So those things, masks, no crowds, and social distancing, it's important. Continue it. Vaccinations, the second part of prevention on this virus, that's what's going to get us out of this mess. The vaccinations remain of critical importance. We remain with two general categories of vaccinations being present. The messenger RNA vaccines, which are Pfizer and Moderna. And then there is the non-replicating adenovirus-related vaccines, which actually one of them is not available in the U.S. currently, AstraZeneca. And the other one, Johnson & Johnson, currently is on hold here in the country. And that on hold of Johnson & Johnson one-shot vaccine thing is something I'm going to talk about momentarily. First of all, I want to make 3 points about vaccines before I specifically dip into the Johnson & Johnson issue. 3 points about vaccines for COVID. One, first, the messenger RNA vaccines, Pfizer and Moderna, they remain reliable and safe and are essentially well-tolerated. That is, with minimal side effects only. Some people may have temporary immune response-related symptoms. However, they resolve in a day or two or at the most a few days. There have not been any long-term side effects, to my knowledge. These vaccines are not made with intact virus at all. In other words, therefore, there's parts are involved in it, but no actual intact virus in this vaccine at all, messenger RNA at all. Therefore, you are not able to get the COVID virus infection from the messenger RNA vaccines. They are a safe vaccine. Either the Pfizer or the Moderna, what they do is stimulate your immune system to make antibodies to fight off the virus when or if an exposure to the virus was to occur in you from some exposure you might have, unfortunately, to the virus somewhere in your community. So, unfortunately, the Pfizer and Moderna are a two-shot series, as you know, the first shot initially, the second shot in, I believe it's 3 weeks for the Pfizer later and 4 weeks later for the Moderna. The second point about vaccines that I want to make for COVID is something, a general statement that I, as a physician, as a doctor in this world, want to say, and that's about vaccine inequity around the world that's happening, which I feel is disgusting. It's a disgusting fact, in my opinion. That is, it's not moral or ethical. That people in some countries around the world should be inhibited from obtaining these vaccines for COVID. Our own country, in my opinion, should certainly facilitate the availability of COVID vaccines to all people. All countries in need. We should facilitate that. No playing favorites politically. That's ridiculous. So this virus and the prevention of this virus is not a political phenomenon, and therefore, we should not make it so. Other developed, quote-unquote, nations should not treat the vaccine availability as a tool of suppression of other humans. Some of the examples of this have occurred in Israel relative to Palestine people, Palestinian people, and relative to all blockades of commerce, but also of vaccine. And that's disgusting. That should be the United States. If we support Israel, which we do apparently, we should absolutely put our weight into the fact that that is inappropriate. We should not allow it. As much power as we can with Israel, anyway, or any other countries that are being neglected, not appropriate. The third fact relative to the COVID vaccine that I feel as a physician in this country has to do with the ownership of the COVID vaccines, a proprietary ownership by the companies that make the virus, make the vaccines. That should not be occurring currently in something that involves a worldwide pandemic as this does. Therefore, the vaccine should be universal, that is not owned by specific companies, and not be allowed to be owned by for-profit companies. That's not appropriate. The company's ownership is not ethical, moral, or able to be humanistically justified in such a worldwide pandemic. I again quote Dr. Jonas Salk, the physician who was instrumental in the development of the vaccine for poliovirus decades ago. When he was asked by a reporter, who owns the patent on this vaccine, the polio vaccine, Dr. Salk said, and this is, hear this, Dr. Salk said, well, the people, I would say. There is no patent. Could you patent the sun? And I would say, well said, Dr. Salk. An amazing researcher and physician who did such great work. And he says, no, you don't patent that vaccine. It's available to everyone. You don't patent the sun. Everybody gets something that is universally needed, and in this case, with life or death consequences. So, no ownership, that's my opinion, of this vaccine. It should be universal and worldwide distributed as soon as possible, obviously. Okay. Got that off my chest. Thank you for listening. Now, oh, and this is The Doctor's Inn. Thank you for listening to that. And this is KZFR 90.1 FM, listener-supported community radio. Hey, now let's go on to the Johnson & Johnson COVID vaccine issue. Okay. Remember that Johnson & Johnson COVID vaccine is in the category called the adenovirus-mediated vaccine. It is not in the messenger RNA vaccine category that Pfizer and Moderna vaccines are in. This Johnson & Johnson, this non-replicating adenovirus-mediated vaccine category, has the rare potential side effect of something called thrombocytopenia with thrombosis. And you would say, probably, thrombocytopenia with thrombosis, what the heck does that mean? And so I'm going to tell you what it means. I'm going to talk about it. But first, I'm going to say, hey, if you want to read a little bit about it, a very brief thing, in the New England Journal of Medicine, April 9th, 2021, there's an article about the AstraZeneca COVID vaccine in Europe from a Europe reporters, doctors, and other healthcare professionals who identified 5 patients out of a group of 130,000 people who had been vaccinated in their study, in their group. 5 out of that 130,000 people developed this thrombocytopenia with thrombosis. And they reported on that on April 9th, 2021 in the New England Journal of Medicine, which I read that article. And then the next article you might want to look at, it's a very small letter to the editor in New England Journal of Medicine, April 14th, that's yesterday. And that is a reporting from some healthcare professionals, not just doctors, but other healthcare professionals as well, this group of professionals at the University of Nebraska Medical Center, describing a case, a 48-year-old woman with this thrombocytopenic thrombosis. So that's an interesting read. It's very small article. So that's New England Journal of Medicine yesterday. A letter to the editor. Those authors also point out the fact that in Johnson & Johnson vaccine trials, there was one of the thousands in the trial, there was one man, one case, happened to be a man who was 25 years old, who had that thrombocytopenic thrombosis side effect. Well, since it was only one case in the, I don't know how many thousands, what was it? I can't remember. Seems like it was, I can't remember, tens of thousands of cases. Since it was only one case of this side effect, they said, not likely to be due to the vaccine. They thought, you know what, maybe it's due to people who get this for another reason, which I'm going to talk about in a minute, of other people who get it for other reason. There's an important reason that I'm going to talk about in a minute that isn't COVID related. And back to the Johnson & Johnson vaccine, which has the Johnson & Johnson non-replicating adenovirus vaccine has been given to about a little under 7 million people in the United States so far. It's currently on hold, however. Out of those about 7 million people, there were identified as of 3 days ago, April 12th, 6 cases of this probable thrombocytopenia with thrombosis. Now, 6 people out of that 7 million, so that's approximately, give or take, 1 case per 1 million people. 1 case per 1 million, approximately. So therefore, it's extremely rare. However, this particular medical condition, thrombocytopenic thrombosis, happens to be a serious side effect. So therefore, that caught the eye of these reviewers in the Center for Disease Control and Federal Drug Administration, and they appropriately put out a joint statement saying that temporarily, at least, if not long-term, Johnson & Johnson vaccine is on hold while these cases are looked at more closely. Those 6 cases of thrombocytopenic thrombosis with the Johnson & Johnson vaccine that are being looked at, those 6 cases happen to all be women and happen to be in the age group of 18 to 48 years of age. And if you're wondering, women? Why women? And 18 to 48 years of age? Well, you might get a hint of what that the possibility going on when I talk about, in the general population, non-COVID vaccine-related incidents of venous thrombosis in our regular population, general population, mainly women. I'll talk about that in a few minutes. So, again, this issue being currently evaluated in the Johnson & Johnson vaccine has nothing to do with the other category. In other words, the messenger RNA category of Pfizer and Moderna, which are safe and effective. The only upside of the Johnson & Johnson was that it was a one-shot thing. Well, that was cool. But the Pfizer and Moderna are a 2-shot series. But you know what? They're reliable. So for now, get the 2-shot series like I did. I got the Moderna. I did great. All right, so now on to this issue that occurred in those six women in the age group of 18 to 14 with the Johnson & Johnson vaccine, potentially. Thrombocytopenia with thrombosis. So what does that mean? Definition here. This thrombosis, or which means blood clotting inside, is being in veins those with this condition. So a thrombosis in some veins. And definition, first of all, blood vessels are made of arteries and veins. Remember, arteries are the blood vessels that go from the heart out to all the tissues and places of the body. When the heart pumps, the blood goes through arteries to everywhere. Veins are the type of blood vessels that bring the blood back to the heart. So venous thrombosis noted in those six women were all in what's called venous sinuses present in an area adjacent to the brain, that is in the head. And the word sinuses, venous means veins. Sinuses means that these particular veins in this area and in other areas of the body, but in this area are somewhat widened naturally, normally, and therefore the blood can be a little more sluggishly moving through these sinuses areas wherever in the body, in this case in the around the brain area. And if blood is moving, is in an area where it's moving a little slower, well, that's, if there's going to be abnormal clotting, it's often likely to occur in a sluggishly moving area, such as in, so it's these venous or vein sinuses or widened areas of, normally widened areas of veins in the brain areas, whereas this was occurring in these six women. So back to the words venous thrombosis. So venous means in veins. Thrombosis means a blockage or partial blockage of those veins. And in this case, the blockage happens to be from clotted blood in the veins. A thrombosis could be of other things, but by definition. But this thrombosis that we're talking about here is actual clotted blood in these venous sinuses around the brains. Our body, however, you need to know this, our body has mechanisms normally to make sure as best possible that our flow of blood through arteries and through veins happens without clotting of blood inside the vessels. When clotting occurs inside the vessels, be it arteries or veins, that's bad, of course. It's disruptive to blood flow. And then also chunks of clot can then flow out. And that's part of what you're going to hear about venous thrombosis worry. So normally, our normal mechanisms in our body are to work to keep blood clots from happening inside our blood vessels, be they arteries or veins. However, when we bleed, the opposite happens. In other words, when we get an injury or a cut, you know, the body has also a mechanism to do the opposite. That is to clot the blood. Now, not inside the vessels, not inside the veins or arteries, but on the outside or at the skin area to help clot the blood when it disrupts out of not only in the skin, but other areas inside the body too. When it, when it gets outside the vessel area, right at the surface, the body kicks in to a clotting it mechanism, not a unclotting it or keeping it unclotted mechanism, but a clotting medicine mechanism. Interesting, huh? That's the normal process. So when clots happen inside veins or arteries, something in our normal processes of blood vessel health has gone wrong. What has gone wrong? Well, part of the possibility could be that some of the physiologic molecules that are needed to keep blood from clotting inside the vessels. There's a problem with some of those molecules, or for whatever reason, which we'll talk about a bit relative to the Johnson & Johnson issue of blood clots and another related blood clot thing called heparin-induced thrombocytopenia with thrombosis. Anyway, so what? Back to thrombotic thrombocytopenia. So we know, by the way, that has a complicated sound, but actually it is quite complicated. But I'm going to briefly sort that out with you right now. So thrombotic thrombocytopenia is what we're talking about with this Johnson & Johnson thing has been identified. So definitions. Thrombotic, of course, like I said, means blood clotting is happening inside the blood vessel. Not the usual to do. And then thrombocytopenia. So remember, it's thrombocytic, blood clotting. I'm sorry, thrombotic, blood clotting. Thrombocytopenia. Thrombocytopenia means that something called platelets or thrombocytes are low in number, too low in number. Thrombocytes and platelets are the same thing, by the way. So thrombocytopenia means not enough platelets or not enough thrombocytes in the bloodstream. Well, who cares? Well, platelets or or otherwise called thrombocytes are one of the many, many things needed in the bloodstream in order for the correct clotting of blood when it appropriately needs to be clotted, such as when you get injured or cut. So a person's platelets or thrombocytes happen to be very, very low. If a person's platelets or thrombocytes happen to be very, very low, a person could have problems of bleeding too much instead of the bleeding being stopped correctly. Mild thrombocytopenia or mildly low platelets or thrombocytes likely doesn't cause abnormal bleeding. And, you know, I'll just let you know, in the medical world, we see thrombocytopenia or relatively or somewhat low thrombocytes or platelet levels in patients fairly frequently, and the vast, vast majority of them don't cause bleeding. Has to get fairly low before it really kicks into bleeding problems. But there's something else going on with the thrombosis, the blood clotting thing here that we'll talk about in a minute. So here's where the terminology relative to thrombotic blood clotting, thrombocytopenia, low platelet or thrombocyte counts, that terminology plays a little game. Thrombotic means blood clotting inside vessels. And if thrombocytopenia means low level of the platelets, which help clotting happen, you'd think, well, if the platelets were low, wouldn't you get extra bleeding? Maybe extra bleeding, not blood clotting. So what's going on if the platelets are low? How come somebody's having extra bleeding? That is thrombosis inside veins. What's going on there? Well, if you asked that, you asked a very good question. It's kind of a contradictory kind of thing. Well, it turns out that in this case, with the Johnson & Johnson thing, we're talking about a low platelet count caused by something called immune system-caused thrombocytopenia. And that happens to be similar to a medical condition that we know much more about, called heparin-induced thrombocytopenia with thrombosis. So this heparin-induced thrombocytopenia is fairly common. However, when you add the with thrombosis to the heparin-induced thrombocytopenia, thrombosis in that case is less common. So most people with heparin-induced thrombocytopenia, heparin just happens to be a molecule that's used as an anticoagulant. And the fact that it's an anticoagulant not, you know, to make blood not clot so much thing isn't the main immune thing that's going on with this heparin-induced thrombocytopenia. So when you hear heparin-induced thrombocytopenia, don't so much think of heparin as a anticoagulant or a blood thinner or a make you bleed more thing, but because it's actually the thrombocytopenia that happens in this thrombocytopenia, this heparin-induced thrombocytopenia, is an immune reaction-y thing, really not related to the anticoagulant effect of heparin. That's my read on this. So the thrombosis as a consequence of either the heparin-induced thrombocytopenia or the thrombosis as a consequence of the Johnson & Johnson COVID vaccine, both are immune system reactions, either to heparin or to the an element in the Johnson & Johnson vaccine. So these immune system reactions leading to low platelets in these two kinds of low platelet causes involve an immune system response to the platelets via an antibody that's made. So immune systems in our body, part of the immune system is part of our immune white blood cells make antibodies to things that are foreign in us so we can get rid of them, foreign in us, such as viruses and bacteria and other things, cancer cells. So our body, the immune cells, white blood cells that are immune cells, make antibodies or proteins against things. Well, unfortunately, in this heparin-induced thrombocytopenia and in this Johnson & Johnson thing, our body's immune system is making an antibody to a factor that's on the outside of a normal platelet or thrombocyte. And that is called this little thing, area on the outside of the platelets, normal platelets, is called platelet factor 4. Wouldn't you know it? Platelet factor 4. And therefore, the antibody is called platelet factor 4 antibody. And when that antibody attaches to the platelet, that's what antibodies do. They attach to things. Well, this antibody is against, unfortunately, the outside of a platelet. And when a person's body happens to make that, the immune system sees that antibody stuck on the side of the platelet and says, "Bummer, this ain't supposed to be here. This is abnormal." And then it decides to destroy it, works to destroy it. In other words, destroy the platelet or platelets. Okay, so that's what lowers the platelet count in these cases. However, what about the thrombosis element, the extra blood clotting thing? Where does that play in here? Well, here's the kicker. When the platelets are being destroyed in a situation like this, immune thing, sometimes, apparently, there are little bitty pieces of platelet called microparticles. So little bitty pieces of little bit. I won't do that again. Microplatelets. So very small pieces of platelets are formed, and these microparticles of platelets can then, unfortunately, lead to an immune system. An activation of something called an activation of thrombin. So an activation of part of the process that is done when the body is told to make clots. So this little microplatelet, oh, I said I wasn't going to go micro again. So these micro particles of platelets, our body turns up when those platelets are being destroyed by our immune system. Well, these microparticles of platelets can lead to the activation of thrombin and therefore activating a blood clotting cascade of events, and blood clotting happens, and then therefore thrombosis or extra blood clots happen in those sluggishly flowing veins that I was talking about earlier. So hence, then, the presence in some people of thrombosis with thrombocytopenia, both in the heparin-induced thrombocytopenia with thrombosis and the thrombocytopenia with thrombosis in this very small number of patients, this case women in that study, or that look, with the Johnson & Johnson adenovirus vaccine. Now, I think it's important. I still have more time left, it looks like. If you want me to go to a song, I'm probably not going to do that. Sorry. Because I was a little short on my time for this show, as you probably noticed. So I'm going to keep flowing. Hey, we're talking about blood going through veins. Flowing. That was pretty that was a pretty cool statement I made there, wasn't it? Okay, now, I think it's important for me to talk about venous thrombosis itself. Why? And I'm not talking, and that means not as a COVID Johnson & Johnson vaccine rare cause thing, but as a medical condition itself, because it's much, much more common. And there's some facts that we all need to know relative to early detection and prevention. And there can be the possibility of severe consequences of venous thrombosis. So it's something to pay attention to. And this is especially something to pay attention to in women, which I'm going to talk about. So venous thrombosis means blood clotting inside veins. Ain't supposed to happen. Now, not, and what's the downside of blood clotting in veins, generally speaking? Well, it can make the area of the body, if it's the leg, for instance, it can make that area of the leg swollen and painful. That ain't fun. But it also puts the person at risk for that piece of blood clot moving from the leg up to the lungs in something that is potentially fatal. And that is called a pulmonary embolism. So, venous blood clotting in leg veins are a local problem of the leg, but it absolutely runs the risk of pulmonary embolism, or a chunk of clot going up the veins into a piece of the lung and making that area of the lung dysfunctional. And it can be fatal, or certainly debilitating and scary. So, we don't want no venous thromboses. Another reason it's important to know about this is because there are additional risk factors, especially for some women, that have been identified relative to increasing the risk for venous thrombosis. And if any of these additional risk factors are present, then it needs to be considered in certain times in a young woman's life, especially those who are going to potentially be on birth control pills or be pregnant. So, listen, young women and young men, we don't get venous thrombosis much. That's not a very common thing. There's about 1 out of 1,000 people get venous thrombosis. Well, most of those people are older people, like my mother, who had it, and hers went on to pulmonary emboli, by the way. But females, we're going to talk about females because one of the female hormones, estrogen, can play a role in increasing the likelihood of this. So I'll get into the details, more particulars about that in a minute. But why am I not talking about men? Well, shoot, you know, we don't seem to have an increased incidence of that in us. For one thing, men aren't taking hormonal birth control like women are, and men aren't getting pregnant, are they? So, so unfortunately, it is a woman thing that I mainly need to talk about here. So, childbearing age woman, in and of itself, that category, let's say that 18 to 48 year old woman is not, by simply her age, at increased risk for venous thrombosis. The risk, actually, in childbearing age women is 0.1 to 0.5 per 1,000. So a tenth of one person to a half of one person per 1,000. And remember I said in the general population, it's one whole person per 1,000. But remember, that's mostly in older people. Postmenopausal women, that is women after they turn 50, stop having periods, stop having those up and down of hormones. Hormones quit generally. They go to the general population incidence of 1 per 1,000 incidence of venous thrombosis. So the two areas of women in childbearing age that I think we all need to hear about that increases the likelihood to a degree, not massively, but to a degree, have to do with women of childbearing age who are on certain combination birth control pills. The incidence of venous thromboses, remember, in the general population, it's 1 per 1,000 people. Well, in childbearing age women, the incidence, this is a wide range in the literature, but it's 0.3, so a third of a human, to 2.5, so 2.5. So a range of a third of a human to 2.5 women per 1,000. So obviously that is more than 1 per 1,000 people of the general population. And part of the reason that there's such a variability of incidence is the variability of birth control pills. The increase incidence relative to birth control pills has to do with the combination, certain combination birth control pills. And by the way, we're not talking a lot of, you know, the incidence of a third of a person to even 2.5 people per 1,000, you know, so let's average that out to say, a third of a person to two people. Well, let's say that's, I don't know. The point is, in some birth control pills, it does increase the likelihood of venous thrombosis, although it's not hideously bad, but it is present. And you need to know your risk factors, because the risk factors play a role in who, if you're on birth control pills, are more likely to get venous thromboses. And those risk factors are, but before I say that, I want to say the combination birth control pills can still be used, but there's the it needs to be what is usually used nowadays, and that is low-dose estrogen pills, the lowest-dose estrogen pill. And the combination means it's also with a progesterone. Well, here's the progesterone element to stay away from. Write this down. The drosperinone, drosperinone. So this is a combination birth control pill progesterone element that I don't think any women should be on. And that is drosperinone. Because for various reasons, I'm not going to say the names of, I actually know of one relatively common birth control pill that has that as its progesterone. I'm not going to say that on this show, the brand name. I think that's not a good idea. But so who knows this stuff? Your doctor, whoever's prescribing you the birth control pills, you need to ask them. I want the birth control pill that's least likely to increase the chances for a thrombosis in my legs. And if they don't know, then you got to go to a different doctor. These additional risk factors are things that you need to know. Oh, by the way, before I go into that, you need to know that pregnancy. Now, pregnancy is the thing where estrogen levels, of course, are quite higher. So that's one place where you are at increased risk. Not greatly, but you are at increased risk for thrombosis. So you have to pay attention. And you need to not go on prolonged rides in cars without periodically moving your legs, or plane trips prolonged without moving your legs. You need to not smoke cigarettes. You need to increased age at pregnancy increases the likelihood. Obesity increases the likelihood. Family history of blood clots increases the likelihood. Certain cancers and surgeries does. Bed rest for a long period, for a prolonged time, such as in pregnancy or some illness, increases the likelihood in your legs. You got to get up and move around, move your legs around. That helps move blood. and helps prevent venous thrombosis. And then there are some genetic things that do. One bad one is, or one thing that needs to be paid attention to if it's in your family, and that's factor V Leiden mutation. And darn it, I got to quit because the time is what it is. And I'm going to continue, hopefully, with a little bit of this and the Cuba thing next month on the Doctor's Inn, the third Thursday of the month. And the Doctor's Inn is made possible by the generous contributions of KZFR supporters and by Bruce Jenkins Insurance, a retirement advisor offering Medicare assistance, including prescription drug and supplement plans, Social Security maximization, retirement income planning, and life insurance. You can reach Bruce Jenkins Insurance at 530-781-3592 or visit brucejenkinsinsurance.com. And by Knockout Collision Repair, Chico's high-tech auto body shop specializing in complete collision repair and restoration. At Knockout Collision, they offer you while-you-wait estimates, and they even handle all the insurance paperwork. Cool. For an appointment or information, call Knockout Collision Repair, and Knockout is K-N-O-C-K-O-U-T. By the way, Knockout Collision Repair at 899-9202 or visit knockoutcollisionrepair.com. I'm going to say this disclaimer again, and I'm not sure if I'm going to go over the hour. I might be going over the hour a bit. So maybe I can get back to that, what I was talking about, in a minute. But anyway, I got to say this disclaimer. You know me, the opinions voiced on this program do not necessarily represent the views or opinions of KZFR, its staff, board of directors, underwriters, or volunteers. They're actually my opinions. The next show that's supposed to start in 2 minutes, well, guess what? There's nobody here yet. So, where was I? I was talking about venous thrombosis, wasn't I? Well, guess what? I'm going to talk a little more about venous thrombosis right now until something else happens with the next program. So what I was saying, what I was trying to get across is venous thrombosis, which means blood clotting in veins, in the general population. And this is not COVID related or COVID vaccine related. This is just venous thrombosis in the large inside veins of the leg is the main place, and the pelvis, you know, the lower part of the abdomen or the pelvis in those large veins down there. Those are the two places that usually get in the general population. If thrombosis is going to, or blood clots are going to occur, it'll be in those areas. Well, the risk factors for that, are women who are of increased age, cigarette smoking, obesity, family history of venous thrombosis, blood clots, presence of some types of cancer, the occurrence of certain surgeries, and being admitted to the hospital where your legs ain't moving around much and you're on bed rest. One of the situations too. Okay, hey, you know what? Now I'm going to quit, and you're going to be listening to Jan, and I think the show is called Peanut Butter Jelly Time.
Maybe Beatles.
So it's going to be Beatles. Hey, so guess what? This is Dr. Logan, Ken Logan, in the Doctor's Inn, and I'm going to bid you adieu. hope to hear you, or hope you hear me in 1 month on the Dr. Zinn. I'll finish up some stuff and maybe hopefully